It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Odyssey Sports Station. The workday is coming to an end.
It is 5 o'clock. I will see you all tomorrow.
But Quinn and Chris are just getting started.
Sports talk it is.
Your hosts, Tony Quinn Jr.
Now, I will say, the journey, and it was a journey, to get to the press box is one of the toughest journeys I've been on.
And Chris Ello.
He hits 2 home runs every game, including a glance. Well, it's going to be one of those days, huh?
It's time to get you up to speed on all things sports.
Yes! Yes! Yes!
With plenty of nonsense in between.
Oh, look! Here comes our fearless producer!
Quinn and Chris starts right now on 97.3 The Fan.
Into the happy hour we go. 5:01 on the clock. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, Nick DiNucci in for Matt Scraby. I texted Matt a while ago and I asked him if he had the Chronicles. He has not returned it, my text, so I assume he doesn't, because he's an hour away from his show beginning if he were to have one, and he's not here. That's not like Scraby. So we'll assume that he's not coming in today.
He's probably got his arm in a sling right now.
Yes,
in the North County Emergency Ward somewhere.
got an ice pack.
I mean, I hit him at 4:40, and he has not
getting
texted
an
back.
X-ray.
So he might be his arm might be shot at this point.
No Chronicles tonight.
No Chronicles.
Go without it this evening.
We're gonna dive into a little bit of the Padres' finances. By the way, this hour on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings. Buffalo Wild Wings is football. We're talking Padre baseball, though.
Yeah, this is interesting, and I give full credit to the guys at the UT, Kevin Acey, Jeff Sanders, writing about how much money the Padres are on the hook for next year. And that's not just including their salaries they had this year. So remember, right, they cut the payroll quite a bit for this season, and I think we all agreed they had to do it. We didn't really, you know, root for it to happen, but they needed to get under the old luxury tax.
Yes.
Now, next year, maybe they can spend a little more money, or are they already spending a little more money?
And that's please.
Yes, that's kind of the crux of this. First of all, before we get into that part, the Padres will owe $20 million to Joe Musgrove next year. So he'll make that. And
he's due for a boost.
And he won't be playing. Eric Hosmer still has $12 million for next year. And they're saying a likely $2 million buyout on the option for Ha-Seong Kim. So right there is $34 million for three players that are probably not going to be on the team.
That's an I got you.
All right, that's $34 million that you're spending on Musgrove, Hosmer, and Kim, and none of them will be playing here next year, most likely. Kim could come back.
Wait, so then how are you spending it, then, if you're not spending it, if Kim's not going to be here?
Well, you're giving him $2 million for the buyout on the option,
okay,
according
to
this story.
Got you.
Again, all of this is according to AC and Sanders, because I do not follow this stuff personally very closely. But here's what I'm talking about when they may already be increasing their payroll without really adding anybody to the team. Fernando's 14-year contract goes from $11 million this year to $20 million next year.
That's nine.
So that's $9 million more just to, you know, Fernando to be on the team. Yu Darvish goes up $5 million next season.
So we're at 14.
We're at 14. Jake Cronenworth will make $4 million more next year.
So we're at 18.
Wandy and Yuki, the two relievers, combine to make $3 million more.
We're at 21.
Reliever Jason Adam is in line for significantly more than $5 million. There's no number given here, but
so that, let's say
they're assuming
10?
They gotta spend some more for him.
Let's add an extra 10 there.
Adrian Morejon, Luis Camposano appear set for raises of about $1 million. Each,
so about 33 mil.
So there you go,
and that's just in
that are going to be on the team. Yeah, they're not re-signing. They're not going out and getting those guys. Those players are due money next year. So $33 million a year, that's about the cost of a good ball player, right there, isn't it? Thereabouts, or is that even enough for a good ball player in this day and age?
33 mil. That's top tier. That's a really good ball player right there.
You also have Luis Arraez. You have to figure out what to do with him. Dylan Cease, you have to figure out if you want to, you know.
These guys are under contract.
They're under contract, but they're going to be looking for boosts. Michael King is another, according to this story. Anyway, I thought it was interesting because
those are all arbitration guys. So.
Right. Yes. Yeah, and I don't even understand all that. But I do understand the $30 million that are being paid to guys that are on the team already.
Right.
That's more than they were paid this year. So it's just something to keep in mind when they're trying to, you know, go out and get new players.
This is also why it's so hard to kind of predict what free agency is going to look like, you know, because that $33 million extra, estimated $33 million extra that they're going to be paying on guys who are already on the team.
Right.
So that increases the payroll in itself. Now, who would you say, Kim? Who would other? Who would?
Kim Musgrove and Hosmer. That's just money that's kind of dead money right now. And that's, you know what? Everybody kind of brings up a big deal about this. Well, you're spending. I think every team has this dead
for
money
sure.
around. I mean, contracts that haven't worked out. So the Padres aren't alone there.
Yeah, there's plenty of teams with dead money. Except the teams that don't spend any at all.
Unless you don't spend any in the first place. Right. You're going to make some mistakes. Padres have made some mistakes. Fernando, Darvish, Cronenworth, Wandy, Yuki, Jason Adam, Morejon, Camposano. Those are guys that will be here this year and will be here next year. And that's costing you a raise of $33 million.
Yeah.
So that's going to be, you know, something that you have to take into consideration when we discuss the Padres need to get this guy, they need to get that guy, they need to go after that guy.
It won't be as easy to do any of that.
But you know we're going to go through it, right, Tony? Every time a player's name comes up, he'd look good here. Scrabulaskis in the Big Five. Should we get this guy? Should we get that guy?
We're not quite there yet. We got
time, but it'll happen.
We start getting into this beginning of December. That's when we start having to dissect free agent that we can envision in a Padre uniform.
I can't wait.
Now, we've been, quite frankly, it's A.J. Preller's fault. He has spoiled this Padre fan base
with
new gifts under the tree, it seems like, every offseason. So take for that what you will.
He does have a tendency to make around the end of the year.
Christmas has been very good to the Padres over the last, I don't know, 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
Where Christmas was quite bare for many, many years prior to that. So I get why, you know, it's you start to kind of envision someone new in your uniform every year. It's kind of
right.
It's kind of been our. It seems like the Padres right over the last few seasons.
Do you want the halftime score of the Laker game, or would you rather be not?
I see it, unfortunately.
Oh, you've 67-48.
Yeah. It's
19 points.
It's a little drubbing right
LeBron
now.
LeBron is 12 points, which puts him officially. And I wrote this down before because Sorry, everybody. I'm grabbing my notes. I want to get this right. And I don't have the right sheet.
Wrong sheet.
This is what you get for using still pieces of paper. And I'm the only one who does it, right? Nobody else does this.
No. I won't lie, I do keep a few things still on paper. And it's, yeah, I have the same struggle sometimes.
Oh, yeah. Well, this is a major struggle because I can't find
it. You still can't even find it at all? By the way, the Boston Celtics right now are losing.
Oh, good news.
Yeah, 62-49.
Here's the sheet I want.
Okay, there it is.
LeBron is now 1,227 straight games in double figures.
He almost had it. It almost broke the other day against the Suns.
He only had 11 in that game. Yeah, that was weird. But he's had double figures. This has got to be among the most incredible statistics of all time. He's had double figures in every game for 17 and a half years.
Was it? Yeah, I can't remember if it was Adam or Scraby I was having the argument with about why.
What, they didn't think it was a big deal?
It wasn't a big
deal.
Come
on. You got like, it one night. Me?
I was about to just say, that's honestly one of the most absurd statistics I've probably ever heard. I'm not even just saying that as a fan.
I know.
Like,
it's
actually
ridiculous.
That's absurd.
Like,
17 and a half years.
Yeah, that's not normal. In the best positive way possible,
and you're playing in the top league against the top players, and you're playing every night. You never get one night off.
No,
not two for 12.
Not only that, they're all the defenses are keying on you at that. Oh, Matt Scraby just got back to me. He said, "No, not tonight. He doesn't have the Chronicles." So
that's all he got back to us with. I need more information.
I figured if he did have it, we were going to see him in the next like 20 minutes.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
So LeBron's streak is alive. I don't know. Amazing records like that, they kind of get me.
I think we were numb to it. I think we just assumed that he should get double-digit points every night.
Yep.
And that's
well, yes, we are. We'd be totally numb to it, right? 17 and a half years. It's just straight.
Kind of like putting your pants on every day.
That's a whole grown adult. Worth of time.
Yes. Like full-grown adult on the bench that he produced.
That is within that time frame.
That makes it even more
like, just what are we actually observing?
I think it's also fair to say for LeBron James, because we can get all this in without Scraby here because he's the one that can't stand LeBron, but we all respect what
he
does.
I'm a LeBron guy. I got to say.
But here's the thing. He was the chosen one. Remember, that was even the headline in Sports Illustrated.
Before he was drafted, he was a chosen one.
What was it, 5 years before he was ever even gone into the league?
Like, I think he was in eighth grade at that point.
How many guys that are in the eighth grade or ninth grade are said to be that amazing and then actually are? It doesn't always happen, not even close.
There's only one that even comes remotely close to LeBron James, and that's Bryce Harper. He's the only other one that is... And I don't even know if he's in the same stratosphere.
I don't think so.
He's the only other one that has had that kind of hype and has, you know, pretty much lived up to it.
But not to LeBron's category.
Nah.
LeBron is in the league with Wayne Gretzky.
Right.
I mean, in terms of dominating. I mean, look, Jordan... You actually have to spend a moment to put together an argument to keep Jordan ahead of LeBron James.
You do. The one
that everybody keeps going to is, well, LeBron lost 10 finals. Well, he's got to that many.
He's got 10 finals, right?
He also won his share.
Yeah.
You know, Michael never lost the finals. Yeah, I know, but he was only in six of them.
You are now.
LeBron was in like 14 of them.
There was a time where you didn't have to cherry pick Michael Jordan's stats in order to
just say Michael Jordan and everybody go, you're right, he's better.
Right now, he's got the all-time scoring title. He's got the only thing he doesn't have more than him is a better win percentage in the finals and more finals championships. That's it. Everything else he's surpassed.
I think you have to put LeBron on the Mount Rushmore basketball.
Oh, I don't think there's.
I mean,
any,
four guys.
I don't think there's any question?
You'd have trouble, but I think Jordan and LeBron are there. And then you can, you know, start getting
the other two are like interchangeable. It seems like
depends you want to get. You know, you want championships, then you put Bill Russell. You want scoring, you put Wilt.
You want
Kareem, and you want Kobe, and you want Bird.
I'm getting texts right now, and they don't like the MJ.
Tell them it's coming from the all-time Bulls fan.
It's coming from Doo-Doo to think Michael, think the world of him.
It's the all-time Bulls fan. I mean, I would never be blasphemous for me to ever consider anybody better than Michael Jordan, and I did not say that LeBron is better. What I said is it's gotten to the point where you actually have to spend a moment or two for your argument.
You do.
Because LeBron has put so much stuff up there. So.
And he's only adding to it, apparently. So let's get to break. On the other side, more Gwen and Chris. There's some traffic.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com. It's
better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at tmobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
All right, the tide is turning in the World Series. I'll tell you about that in a second. First, the Odyssey app lets you jump back to the moments you missed on 97.3 The Fan. While you're listening to 97.3 The Fan, you can see what you missed and click on Listen on Demand. If you missed a guest, a feature, something crazy that happened from earlier, we've got you covered. Download the free Odyssey app, search 97.3 The Fan, and tap Earlier Today. That'll get you started. Well, first things, Freddie Freeman did not hit a home run in the top of the first inning tonight. But guess who just first, Tony?
All rise.
That's right. He's back. Aaron Judge has hit a two-run homer. The Yankees tonight jump into the lead 2-0 over the Dodgers. That serves the Dodgers right for,
punting
on game four, as everybody keeps wanting to say they did.
Yeah.
Soto, I mean, the most obvious thing in the world happened. Soto walked and Judge hit a homer. That's kind of what happened.
It's kind of been the part of the formula. Only part of the problem is hasn't been doing his thing.
And he hit it to right center field, Tony, which is what you and I always say.
I told you yesterday, or the day before yesterday.
Yeah.
I said I thought his swings were a little bit better, right?
Yep.
And then yesterday he has a knock with an RBI. Now all of a sudden he's backing the baseball up. Hits one out to right center.
Yeah.
The last thing the Dodgers want is to be dealing with a hot Aaron Judge and a Juan Soto who's been sticking it to him
all series.
So
that's what we said. The Dodgers better get the series over before Judge gets hot. Well,
it might be too late.
Race starting now because Judge is warming up. 2-0 Yankees. We got a few minutes here, and I was talking about Jazz Chisholm just hit one into the upper deck, and he posed like these guys pose nowadays. I don't know how else to
Jazz
describe it.
Jazz has one of the most eccentric celebrations. I mean, he got the jump shot at first base.
Yeah.
He's got the little one-finger high five at third, and then the Euro step at home plate.
Yeah, and his celebration when he hit the ball, because he knew that one was gone. 3-0 Yankees. Well, maybe the Dodgers ought to punt this game now, Tony, and start bringing in their lousy relievers just like they did last night. Yes, we may have
I can tell you that Yankee mystique, it's real. I witnessed it with my own eyes in 1998.
Yeah.
Padres just beating all over the Yankees, and you could literally feel the energy shift and change before the Grand Slam happened.
Yeah, didn't hurt that crappy umpire missed the call. But that's something
that's part of the mistake.
That's something we'll never get over.
That's part of the mistake.
Something we'll never get over. There isn't a whole lot of newsworthy stuff to catch you up on.
There's nothing.
Jordan Love is kind of the question mark this weekend in the NFL. Packers could definitely use him because they're playing the Lions this week. Love says it's not out of the possibility that he could not practice all week and then still play in the game Sunday. I hope he plays because, I mean, I'm looking forward to that game. I think it's a good game. If Malik Willis plays, I don't know if it's such a good game. Lions are awfully good. But
What game is that? That's not Thursday night, is it?
Sunday night. Sunday, so he's got some time. Thursday night is the Texans against the newly rebirthed Aaron Rodgers and his cayenne pepper. That's Thursday night.
His fountain of youth.
Yes. One other one, we touched on this earlier in the week. The Dallas Cowboys, Trayvon Diggs, has apologized for his confrontation with the reporter outside the locker room after the 49er game.
I must say this,
that even though that's a nice thing to do,
yeah,
I don't think it was necessary.
I don't either.
I think the guy was way out of pocket to post something that insinuated that Diggs wasn't giving an effort in the game. I just didn't think that was accurate or fair. And Diggs called him out on it, and I think he had every right to.
I listened to Diggs was on what's his teammate's podcast? The linebacker,
Micah. Oh no,
Micah Parsons. Yeah, Micah Parsons.
It is Micah. Okay.
He was on there. And he was talking about it, and he said he happened to see the tweet right after the game, and he said he looked down to see who it was. He said, "Oh, I just saw him. He's literally right outside the door." And so he's catching that tweet in real time. And I mean, that's just you
know. It was a real reaction.
It was
a fair one.
And he didn't call him out his name. He didn't do anything out of the sort. He just expressed his displeasure with it, which is perfectly okay. I think I just had a problem with, and you and I talk about this all the time now in today's journalism world.
Yeah,
that is
what journalism.
Well, I mean, taking a steel shot of a guy running
and then saying he's not trying.
Not a video, by the way, where you could like track the whole thing. It's just a steel shot.
Yeah.
And you are supposed to make an assumption, and I think that is the part that is maddening. Like, there wasn't even full video evidence to back up what you were saying. You just took a steel shot, posted it,
and said this guy isn't trying.
What is so and so doing here? As if to insinuate that he's not trying.
Yeah, he was not happy with that post, and I think, you should have to be responsible for your post. I'm 100% upset that Trayvon Diggs, went back and said, "Ah, this guy, I apologize."
The fact that it's happened today is Wednesday. The fact that happened Sunday, and he's apologizing, only lets you know that there was some pressure on him from somewhere.
I know. Somebody told him
he had to apologize. But it was weak. I didn't think he needed to. Personally.
Agreed. Your guy Lamar Jackson, load managing. Not really. Coach
practice?
John Harbaugh gave him a day off.
Yeah.
Practice. He's got a ton of injuries, but that is the story in the NFL. I mean, Jim Brogan brought up about the basketball, and you know this from baseball. What we don't see is the travel and the getting on and off airplanes and carrying bags and flying all night and going in and out of hotels. That wears on the body. Guys, we don't hear about it. They're not allowed to ever use it as an excuse. It's just part of their life. But the thing in the NFL, part of your life is by week 8, you are injured.
Yeah, it doesn't even matter who you are. No getting around it.
No, you're just injured. There's nobody.
The thing I don't think we think about often, because all of us fly, right? We all know what it's like to fly, get on and off of a plane. And at the professional level in sports, that means, private, but you're still doing the same things. I think a lot of people just kind of think about how they feel when they get off a plane and go do whatever they're doing. And the difference is those dudes are actually using their bodies in a way that it has to be in the perfect kind of resting spot, strength spot, all of that. And flying is just not easy on the body when you're talking about playing sports. Now, if you're talking about, you know, going to see some family or getting on a vacation.
Normally, the first thing you do when you get to your family's house is, can I lay down? I'm tired.
Right. It's work before the work. And it's a lot of work to just be in the position to do the work.
Yeah. Right. 100%. 100%. So, Lamar Jackson gets a much needed day off, I'm
sure.
Can I say
a quick thing about Lamar?
Go ahead.
Wait,
first of all, we got to give it some background here because where are you from?
I'm from Baltimore.
Okay, there we go. Baltimore fan, right?
Yes, absolutely. Right. Big Ravens guy.
It's hard to know what you're a fan of because Nick DiNucci, for a young guy, has an inordinately large number of jerseys.
I do. I'll give you.
He almost can wear one for every team that's playing. So I never quite know what team he's rooting for.
So my pops used to work, and he used to travel a lot for work. That's where those come from.
Okay.
So wherever he goes, he's like, "You want a jersey?"
And
so
that's very nice.
But all I wanted to say about Lamar, I love him running, man. He's a good runner. I just wish they'd use Henry a little bit more and the other backs a little bit more, just to avoid like a bad injury or like too much load management becoming compromising of his season. That's all I was going to say.
The difference with Lamar is he's bigger than a lot of guys that are tackling him, as opposed to Jaden Daniels or Tua, who's, you know, comparatively soft.
He does set blocks.
Lamar can run you over a little bit.
Yeah. No, but I kind of agree with Nick. You don't need him running anybody over, especially when you got that big 250-pound back.
Right. We have other guys.
You got a lot of dudes back there. And I get it. And you know what? The cool thing about Lamar is he's not backing away from them giving him the ball. He wants to do whatever he can to win.
Yeah.
Did you see his reaction when they lost that game last week? He had a Nick Bosa moment. Joey Bosa moment.
I didn't see it, no.
He snapped that helmet off. He was pissed.
He gets very mad.
But you don't mind that.
He cares.
He didn't ask out the game after setting up. That's just mind-blowing to me. I'm sorry.
All right, 2-0 Yankees on the Judge homer. 3-0, sorry. Chisholm homer, too. So that's where they're at, top of the second in Game 5. It's early, but Game 6 is looking a little more possible.
Indeed.
So is the final half hour of Gwen and Chris.
Last segment of the evening. I don't often pay as much of attention to the chat as Scraby does, but I did catch something on here. Moises Ramirez, condolences to you and your family, my man.
Yes.
It sounds like your mom passed away this morning. That's a horrible, horrible thing to have to deal with. So prayers up for you and your family. And
yes,
sounds like some of the folks in the chat have done the same. So,
chat can be uplifting from time to time.
Indeed.
Rare, but from time to time. Adrian Griffin was the coach you guys were trying to think of.
We were talking about coaches
that get fired unfairly. This guy was 30-13 for the Bucks last year. See ya.
Not good enough.
In the middle of the season.
Gotta go.
Doc Rivers came in and they went 17-19.
Yeah.
So didn't seem to work for them.
Didn't quite settle in the way that maybe the brass in Milwaukee thought.
I didn't know that the Cavs had a new coach this year. But they got the guy from Golden State, Kenny Atkinson.
Ah.
They showed him on the sidelines. I was like, oh, I didn't remember him. I didn't remember who Cleveland's coach was before, but
Kenny Atkinson was once fired unfairly from Brooklyn.
Oh,
remember
okay.
He was there right before, I believe, they brought in Steve Nash and Kevin Durant and company. That was the new big three. It was Harden, Durant, Kyrie.
Yeah.
They had Kenny Atkinson the year before. They had a great run, and then they bring those guys in. They bring in Nash. He didn't last long either.
Kenny Atkinson, he was there in Brooklyn for 4 years. But, yeah, coaching's weird. Who was it? Didn't it Scraby or somebody brought up yesterday? It's a stupid thing he said, as usual, and a lot of times he says, but, like, that guy has no experience. Well, every coach has no experience until they get hired.
Oh, he was talking about J.J., wasn't he?
That's right.
But the funny thing is once you get one, then they can recycle you like 30 times.
Yeah.
You're all of a sudden qualified forever and ever. Because how many coaches really stay with one or two teams? Not even two. They all go to more than that.
Two is like, That's like two is like one.
Especially in basketball.
Two, two is essentially one.
If you can only coach two teams in whatever sports you do, you've probably had a pretty good career. If you can, I mean, if as long as it's not like 2 years, you had, you know, one.
Right,
and
some
one.
Longevity right, each thing. Right, right.
I was looking at the Bucks list of coaches just for fun. Since 2014, they've had seven guys. Mm. That's 10 years. That's just one team that I happen to be looking at.
And they won a title in one of those.
They won a title in there. Budenholzer won that one, and then he got let go.
Lead off double for Volpe.
Volpe. See, everybody's waking up for the Yankees now. You Dodger fans are going to have to sweat it. Sorry.
Yeah, that's going to be tough, man. If you lose this game tonight, it's going to get very interesting.
It's
going to
get tight. It's going to get tight.
Maybe not this Barnes question. Maybe somewhat dumb.
Oh, well, that's all right. We're used to dumb questions around here.
You're in Scraby Scraby's chair.
We're used to it.
This is probably an obvious answer. Do you think more San Diego fans are rooting for the Yankees to win or the...
You know what's funny is I thought that was there was like a legitimate question there before the series started, and we asked it, and it wasn't a legitimate question.
It was 90%. We're rooting for the Yankees.
We did an actual poll on this.
It wasn't even...
Mostly anti-Dodgers.
It's anti-Dodger for sure.
Yeah. All right. So you want to get to our...
Let's get to our interview of the day. Bryant McFadden, former Pittsburgh Steeler, now CBS NFL analyst, joined us earlier to talk about what's going around around the NFL.
And indeed, we are talking some NFL with former NFL cornerback Bryant McFadden, played with the mostly with the Pittsburgh Steelers, now a CBS NFL analyst, CBS Radio NFL analyst. Nice enough to spend a little time with us here. And Bryant, interesting you played for the Steelers mostly because, well, this show loves the Steelers. Or more specifically, this show loves Mike Tomlin, your former head coach. And I've always wanted to find out a little insight. He's having a really nice season again. He's been doing it for a long, long time. Does he have the support of Bryant McFadden?
No question. No question. You talk about my support, of course, you know, being there hands-on with Coach T when I played under him. I know what type of coach he is. Number one, to be successful in the National Football League as a head coach, you have to be a leader of men. You have to be able to command the locker room. You have to be able to garnish the respect of the guys that you're coaching. He's always had that ability, and it's no surprise to see the success he's had throughout his career and most recently what he's doing this season.
Bryant, you know, on those same lines, I mean, he recognized that the soft spot of this Steelers team last year was the quarterback position. They bring in Justin Fields. They bring in Russell Wilson. And it looks like Russell Wilson's going to start the season as a starter. He has a calf injury. Fields comes in, and he gets the team off to a great start. Yet Tomlin felt like there was more to be had, and he inserts Russell Wilson, and all of a sudden his offense looks like it's got some dynamic feel to it. What did you make of the quarterback change and how it's gone so far?
You know what? Honestly, I was a bit concerned because one thing I know about football, it's a rhythm-like sport, you know, and the same can be said for any sport. When you got a good rhythm and you're winning games, you don't really want to make a drastic change because you don't know if that's going to make us up the winning rhythm, the winning ingredient. So I was a bit concerned. But one thing I did say when I was asked that question the week of knowing that Mike Tomlin made that quarterback switch, I said, one thing I won't question is Mike Tomlin's football intellect. Mm. One thing I won't question is his ability to know what is best for his team. And I said, yeah, I'm a bit concerned, like most people are, because you 4-2, you make a quarterback change. You're like, what happens if Russ gets in
right.
and the offense becomes stagnant and we're losing ball games? Then you got to worry about answering that question: was that the right move? And if it derails the season, can you get over that hurdle? So I said, you know, I trust his ability to understand and know what's right, and to put his team in position to win. And so far in two games, he's looking like a genius.
Yeah.
And see, that's the thing about head coaches. That's why they get paid the top dollars, because they got to be willing to make decisions that most outsiders do not understand. Because you're going to get questioned, you will be questioned about those decisions, especially if it don't work. And if they do work, you still have some people looking at you with a side eye, But that's what comes with that role when you're a head coach.
Yeah, Mike Tomlin has been doing it a long time. Bryant McFadden played for him in Pittsburgh, and joining us here to talk a little NFL. And yeah, the Steelers are 6-2, but they, like everybody else, are still looking up at the top. And that's where Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs are. Bryant, again, two-time champs and now 7-0. You played cornerback in the NFL. How crazy would it have been to try and defend Patrick Mahomes? The thing that gets me is his ability to keep plays alive and find somebody at the last second almost every time and break your heart on defense.
He's missed the clutch. He's missed the clutch. He's a guy, when you think you have him, you don't have him. He is a guy, when you play the Kansas City Chiefs, you actually got to play five quarters. Yeah. And the reason why I say that is because even when you have him in the fourth quarter, he provides a spark. You cannot just get complacent when you have him in the fourth quarter and think, oh, yeah, we got him. No. This is a guy, he's never out of it. You know how old saying in sports, you got to cut the head off the snake to have a shot? You literally got to cut the head off the snake. You can't slice that snake in the middle. You got to cut the head off when you're playing against Kansas City because they're never out of it. And to your point, think about this, guys. Pat Mahomes as an individual is probably having the worst start of his career, in his career this season. But they're undefeated. They're undefeated. And they're undefeated. He don't have his number one wide receiver one. He don't have his wide receiver two. They just lost Juju Smith-Schuster. They just lost their RB1 in Isaiah Pacheco. And they're still finding ways to win. That's the thing about great teams. The difference between great teams and good teams. Good teams show you good flashes and sometimes bad flashes. Great teams show you great flashes and good flashes. And when they show those good flashes, they still win.
Yeah. Yeah, certainly Chiefs certainly fit the mold there. Bryant McFadden joins us. And the other hot issue in the NFL right now is the situation out in Indianapolis. Obviously, their quarterback, Anthony Richardson, tapped out of a game. Something I think that most of us, at least who've been watching it, and I'd have to ask you on the side of playing, have never seen before. The next day, they take away his job. Now, they're certainly saying it had nothing to do with that, but what can that do to the psyche of a team to see the guy who's leading them tap out of a game? Because it doesn't seem like it could be that big of an issue, but clearly it is.
I mean, if I was on that team, I wouldn't want to make it known that I had an issue with it, because you don't want to have a distraction surface. But clearly, that's the issue.
Right.
Like, you play the quarterback position. And to your point, as you gave the intro into what we're talking about with the Colts, you said something that we've never seen before. Right? I don't know how much ball y'all have watched, but I've been watching ball a long, long time. as a kid, as a young adult, and now as a full adult, because I'm older. I've never seen a professional quarterback run 15 yards and say and tap out, because I literally thought he was injured when I saw it happen, because I was watching the game live. I literally thought something was wrong with him. I'm like, oh boy, he's hurt again, because you know he's been dealing with a lot of injuries. But then when he came up to the presser and you actually admitted that, that's where you know there's some growing up needs to be done.
Yeah,
right. Because even if you were tired in that moment, you don't admit that you were tired to all of us. You could have said, I was feeling like I was going to get a cramp. I had some turf pebbles, you know, get in my eye, something. My hamstring got a little tight. You could have said any of that, and we all would have accepted that.
Yeah.
But you came up immaturely and said, oh, man, I was tired. But you never admit that you're tired. You play quarterback. And why are you tired playing the quarterback position in week 8, week 7, whatever it is? This isn't week 1. So,
right.
So making that statement, it didn't help him. And also playing poorly didn't help either. You know what I mean? Because I think the statement wouldn't have came off as big of an attention getter as it was if he was playing better.
Yeah. Bryant McFadden has a couple of Super Bowl rings with the Steelers. I think if Richardson would have come up to you and said, hey, I'm tired, you could have said, I can't hear you. I have my two Super Bowl rings in my ears. Just passed it off, Bryant.
You know what I'd have said? Stuck it up. Man, we need it, bro. Come on, what you mean? We driving, we're down. You play quarterback. You ain't wide receiver where you running 100 routes a day. suck it up. Think about at any level of football, when you're dealing with kids, whatever the case may be, youth football, if your quarterback sit here and tell you he's tired, as a coach, what are we going to tell him? Hey, man, no, you got to play. Yeah. You play quarterback. Yeah.
What do you think of Aaron Rodgers? What do you make of him right at this stage of his career? I mean, you saw him at his greatest. I think we're seeing him at far less than his greatest now. What should he do? What should the Jets do with him right now?
Well, they have nothing to answer the latter first. The Jets can't do anything with him but start him.
Yeah.
That's it. That's it, because even though the season has really kind of been derailed, you still have to start him. And you got a serviceable guy behind him in Tyrod Taylor, who's played a lot of football in the league, but you still have to start him as long as he's healthy. Now, what could be done to try to revitalize their season? Number one, they got to create leadership within the building. I don't care what you're a part of. When you're a part of anything that requires multiple people to be involved for you to be successful, that's a team-oriented atmosphere.
Yeah.
You have to have leadership. You have to have leadership, and you have to have respect involved. I don't know if they have the leadership, because you know why I say that, guys? We just heard a week ago, as they got ready for the game against New England, the person who was talking to the team was Davante Adams. Davante had just got to town.
Yeah.
Right? You see what I'm saying? Like, yeah. If someone mm-hmm. is going to be addressing the team, shouldn't it be someone who's been around for quite some time? Or your franchise quarterback? But instead, the person who was addressing the team was someone who just got to New York. He didn't even got a bus pass yet. He ain't been there long enough to get that.
Yes.
So I'm just looking at it from the view of teams that I was a part of, and why we were so successful was because we had leadership. We had guys that can kind of rally the troops, because coaches only can do so much when it comes to locker room leadership. We had guys that can rally the troops and get everybody together and keep the morale up. That team is too good of a team on paper to be as bad as they've been on film.
Yeah, there's no question. Brian McFadden. Last thing, Brian, before I let you go, you played cornerback, and I don't know if this coincided with when you played, but were you allowed to, when you played, could you touch receivers when they were running routes? Could you bump them off their route? As opposed to today, how do any cornerbacks cover any wide receivers in the NFL?
Well, back then, and I don't want to say back then because I'm not that old, even though I'm older, and the rules were a little different when I first got into the league when I was drafted in 2005. Yeah, we can get a little more physical. We can touch them up a little bit. You know, that was the era where you come across the middle, you might get your head knocked off, took off.
Yeah,
that was that era. You know what I mean? You guys remember the highlights where we used to see on normal broadcasts where it's a routine thing. You got jacked up. You know what I mean? That used to be a segment. You know what I mean? Where people watch the hardest hits of the week.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
right.
It was different then. In today's NFL world and football world in totality, you got to be very, very cautious. That's why you got to really rely on your technique and your film study. Because nowadays, when you watch guys cover wide receivers, it can be accidental contact. They're throwing it. And it can be the accidental contact that doesn't really knock the receiver off his route. It's just because you touched him. How can I be penalized for accidentally touching a guy who's running 4-3 at me feet while I'm backpedaling? Right?
Yeah.
It's not like I abruptly was physical with him. It's just accidental contact. But that's the name of the game because they want to have points. Think about this. Think about how backwards this move is, right? With the new kickoff rules where you got to either kick the ball a certain place to force them to return, or if not, you kick the ball out of bounds, they instantly get the ball to the 30-yard line. So what happens for a defense that has a 2-point lead and they instantly get the ball at the 30-yard line, looking at how good kickers have been, they get two plays, they in field goal range, basically.
Yeah.
Think about that. Like, you instantly, if you don't return the football, or if your kicker doesn't kick it in the soft spot, we got great field position because we got the ball at the 30-yard line. And all we need is a field goal to win.
Damn, never do anything nice for you old defensive guys, Bryant.
Exactly. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
I'm talking like I'm still playing. It just annoys me because I watch it, and I'm like, come on, bro. Like, they already halfway in field goal range instantly from good field position because they get the ball at the 30-yard line.
You can say it. It's soft. They're soft.
That's okay. Bryant McFadden, so much fun talking to you about the NFL, and I hope we can do it again. Appreciate your time, and best of luck, continued success with your new career in the media, and thanks again for talking to us here in Southern California.
Oh, man, thank you for having me, and go Dodgers.
Uh-oh, okay. Thanks, Bryant.
Take care.
Yes, sir.
Bryant's probably not very happy right now. The Yankees,
not going the Dodgers' way yet.
Yankees with a 4-0 lead, just finished the inning. Let's hop to traffic real quick.
From the 97.3 The Fan Traffic Center, here's Kelly Danik.
Traffic is sponsored by the brand new FrontWave Arena in Oceanside. Still a few problems, guys, but I am seeing some improvements. Now, westbound King Freeway, E4 Federal, there is a collision over the right shoulder. Looks like a vehicle may have gone over the side there. So fire crews have got that slow lane blocked westbound King Freeway just before Federal. Also, an accident on northbound 15 right at the 5 connector. Now, it looks like they cleared that accident on the Aero Drive on-ramp to northbound 15. Cordell traffic cam shows collision in the clearing stage on southbound 805 right before the 52. Couple vehicles over the right shoulder, so that is in the clearing stage. The San Diego Clippers are ready for an exciting season at FrontWave Arena. The home opener on November 8th is Bill Walton night, presented by FrontWave Credit Union. Join the fun as we celebrate Bill Walton and his legacy. You won't want to miss it. Grab your tickets at frontwavearena.com. I'm Kelly Danik with Gwynn and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Not going to lie, I was a little confused there when she said San Diego Clippers, and then I kind of had to take a little second for it to settle in on me.
You thought you were in a time warp?
I did. I was like, yo, I know that new stadium is not built out this way. Nonetheless, coming to the end of the show tomorrow, Scraby will be back. Short Thursday show, Thursday Night Football follows. I believe it's Texans-Jets.
That's right.
Yeah, Texans-Jets tomorrow. Chris, anything before we head out here tonight?
No, we were following the Laker game, but I'm not going to update anybody on that.
Don't need to.
You don't want to hear.
It's okay.
It's not good. 4-0 Yankees on an RBI single by Verdugo in the second inning. Flaherty's already been knocked out of the game, Tony. So Dave Roberts is not.
Things get a little tighter.
He's not punting yet, but he may want to warm the leg up.
to get him. Keep his. Here's the thing.
Let the Yankees win again. Dave Roberts can just go tell the media, "Yeah, we let him win again. We
wanted
to
win at
home."
Yeah. No, that probably will be the narrative when we wake up tomorrow.
I hope
Dodgers lose on purpose to try to win at home.
Yeah, they'll try that on us. Ken Rosenthal will break the story somewhere, and I hope the Padres' ban against Ken Rosenthal is a lifetime ban.
Yeah,
I'm imploring the Padres to do that. Don't ever let him in the dugout.
All right, that's it for today. We'll be back again tomorrow. As I said, short show. Enjoy the rest of your evening.
Bye, everyone.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your tacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.